is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keys in Frisco, Texas.
Show me what democracy looks like.
That's one of the No Kings demonstrations going on across the nation against President Trump's policies. In Washington, D.C., people started gathering last night. WTOP's Scott Gelman.
The crowd here along the National Mall is ringing bells and waving American flags as speakers share their stories. Signs say things like, end the orange nightmare. Republicans are calling events like this one Hate America rallies.
I know people want to call it the Hate America, but it's actually a true love for America that has people coming out when they see that their Constitution and their country is falling under what looks like at this moment a dictatorship.
President Trump has commuted the sentence of disgraced former Republican Congressman George Santos of New York. CBS's Michelle Miller.
In July, Santos began serving a seven-year sentence at a federal prison in New Jersey on multiple wire fraud and identity theft charges. He admitted to deceiving donors and voters and stealing the identities of nearly a dozen people. In a social media post, Trump claimed Santos had been horribly treated in prison.
The president is taking aim at Venezuela and its President Maduro as the U.S. military struck another alleged drug boat off that nation's coast. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Trump, who's authorized CIA action inside the country, has made it clear he wants Maduro removed from power, in part because of his alleged ties to drug trafficking. New images show the B-52 bombers that flew near Venezuela Wednesday, and CBS News has learned that for a sixth time since September, the U.S. military struck a vessel in the Caribbean Thursday night. This time, what Trump called a submarine.
Israel confirms the remains of a 10th hostage have arrived in Tel Aviv. CBS's Nancy Chin.
The Red Cross transferred the body of 75-year-old Eliyahu Margalit to Israeli security forces. He was killed by Hamas during the October 7th terror attack.
On CBS's 60 Minutes tomorrow, correspondent Leslie Stahl speaks with U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff about that Israel-Hamas ceasefire deal.
People should understand that Netanyahu, the Israelis, bombed the peacemakers. Bomb the negotiating team.
And by the way, Leslie, it had a metastasizing effect because the Qataris were critical to the negotiation, as were the Egyptians and the Turks. And we had lost the confidence of the Qataris.
Now to baseball as the L.A. Dodgers head to the World Series after sweeping Milwaukee.
It was wild. It was loud. And Shohei, three bombs. Amazing.
Ohtani also pitched 10 strikeouts from the mound. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
Pacific Media News, I'm Shali Pittman. Fall open enrollment started on Wednesday for Wisconsinites who are dual eligible for both Medicaid and Medicare. Experts say nationwide, nearly half of the people who qualify aren't enrolled. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Public News Service has more.
Data shows more than 170,000 Wisconsinites could be eligible for dual eligible special needs plans known as DSNPs because of age, disabilities, or income. These Medicare Advantage plans can include extra benefits like dental care, health care supplies, and even meals and transportation for qualifying individuals. Hannah Diamond with the advocacy group Justice and Aging says the aim is to address confusion and barriers to care, but stresses the plans are subject to provider networks.
Their purpose is to improve integration and coordination of Medicare and Medicaid, two programs that when they initially came about were never designed to work together.
Enrollment is open through December 7th. Benefits vary by carrier, and recent changes to some Medicare Advantage plans in Wisconsin could impact enrollees. People can learn more at getdual.com. Despite knowing little about DSNPs, nationwide plan enrollment has doubled since 2020, and experts expect it will continue to rise, although under new federal guidelines, Marion Gabanias with United Healthcare Community and State says those who are dual eligible could be impacted.
Because each state will have a different outcome based on lots of different things. From a Medicaid perspective, it can be about whether or not they expanded Medicaid. could change what it's going to look like in the future.
Caregivers for dual eligible people who are on Medicaid could also lose coverage. Wisconsin is one of 10 states that hasn't expanded its Medicaid program under the Affordable Care Act. 15% of the state's 1.2 million Medicare recipients are also on Medicaid. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 540 WAUK, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. An isolated thunderstorm possible, otherwise partly sunny today and a high near 71. Showers and storms possible tonight, a low around 50. Sunday, rain likely and windy. Winds gust to 35 out of the northwest. For Monday, mostly sunny and breezy with a high of 65.
It's 64 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on this show, we will recap all the events from the weekend, including local No Kings rallies across Wisconsin. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
What is up, Wisconsin? This is Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Joining me on this stupendous panel tonight.
Stupendous.
Is
like
the fishinest, huntinest, anglinest, noodlingest.
Oh, yeah. I didn't go this year.
Noodlingest.
I'm very sad.
We're sad about it, too.
Huntress slash fisher person. Danielle Fairman alongside
Hello.
Of me. Hey, Danielle.
Hi.
How are you? Co-hosting the show tonight and with me for several decades in the outdoors of Wisconsin, bringing you the best of the outdoors and helping you take what you harvest. I was going to say kill, but let's be honest. Let's use honest words. When you go out hunting, you kill something and put it on your table.
Sure do.
And I'm perfectly okay with that. I come from the school of thought that if something is born in captivity, raised in captivity to be killed, to put on your table, i.e. the beef you pick up at the store, when you hunt, you are doing something as ethical, if not even more ethical in some cases. That animal lives free its whole life,
mm-hmm.
and it ends up on your table. And that's why we are such proponents on the show of using everything you harvest. Fishing, hunting, foraging. If you pick it, pluck it, or stick it, it should be on your table. Danielle Fairman's co-host Yay. Here and the one who makes it easy for us to take everything from the great outdoors and put it on the table in a simple, absolutely delicious way. The award-winning Chef Ellie Lawton. Chef.
Bonjour.
Yeah. She's been working on her French.
I know. Say. Two words.
Two.
It's only taken 6 months.
Two words. What are the two words?
Well, I know one saying and one word.
What is the saying?
My name is Ellie.
Jamapelli.
Jamapelli.
That's pretty good.
Jamapelli at the deli.
And of course, the contributor.
Kind of smelly.
Megan. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you said it. I'm glad you said it, not me. I have to sit next to her.
Hey, you don't have to.
Well, during the show, I do. And Megan, the salad bar Salazar, is with us. And you know what I'm really jacked about? I'm really jacked because, you know, a lot of folks know her dad, Jay Link, from his escapades in the outdoors. But I have to tell you, our guest tonight is really making her name known and
yes.
really accomplishing some incredible things in the outdoors. I want to get into women in hunting. I want to talk about some of the challenges they face and some of the things that they're able to overcome as the largest growing group of new hunters in the state
Yay.
And the nation. Mm-hmm. Kenya Link is joining us. Kenya, man, I'm so jacked. You just got off one of the most exciting, probably, hunts of your life. Exciting to even see it and read about it. Kenya, great to have you on the show tonight.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here. The timing couldn't be better, honestly, coming straight off that hunt. I've got lots to talk about.
Yay!
Yes, and we're going to talk about her absolutely like record breaking awesome hunt she had. But tonight I want to take a few minutes to talk about how excited we are to have the listeners we do. Our listenership is growing. Raised in Wisco can be heard on Saturdays at 11 o'clock throughout the great state of Wisconsin, and now in Minnesota and Michigan, 11 o'clock
Hello,
Saturdays.
Neighbors.
So welcome to our Michigan and Minnesota neighbors. Go Packers.
what was that?
I didn't hear anything. No. One thing that bonds us all is the great outdoors. And, you know, I know that Minnesota and our friends in Minnesota have the land of 10,000 lakes on their license plates. And Wisconsin has got 10,000 plus lakes here. And Michigan's got a ton of lakes. And we all share the Great Lakes. And we share the Mississippi with Minnesota. So a lot of what we do here in Wisconsin in the outdoors can be done similarly in similar altitudes and similar latitudes in Michigan and Minnesota. So it really is great to have them. I am having people tell us about the show. One of the listeners, I'm excited about this because it just makes me feel good. We have a loyal listener. Now, George Ermert, just settle down. You couldn't be here tonight.
Yeah, relax, George.
You couldn't be here tonight, but we brought in what I would call our best listener, or shares the title with George.
I agree.
Gary Fluitt is here. And Gary, I really appreciate you coming to the Fishbowl tonight. You came in, you're raised in Wisco hat. You show up at the
Love
events
it.
That we do. And it's just awesome to have you. And I want to know, like, how did you start listening to Raised in Wisco? And how loyal of a listener are you? Because it's really cool to have one of our biggest fans of the show in the studio with us.
Coming across Raised in Wisco was word of mouth. Word of mouth got me here. I listen every Saturday. If I don't catch it on Saturdays, I'll catch it live stream on Sundays. If I miss the show, I'm really disappointed.
Aww.
Not just my love for the outdoors, but a love for cooking, for what I get in the outdoors, all about the harvesting. If you haven't tried the recipes that are shared, you probably should.
Right there. That, you know what? That warms the cockles of my heart.
The who's?
That's actually a saying. That makes me feel so good. And after all is said and done, you guys, that is what this show is about. And it is about spreading the good news of the outdoors, how to take what you harvest and put it on the table, understanding and appreciating when you take the life of an animal or a fish, or when you pluck a plant out of the ground. That is a gift. And in Wisconsin, there's no better place to do it in the entire country, the world, in my opinion, than right here. And that is going to bring us to our weekly Wiscos.
Woo!
Let's talk about what we all did in the great outdoors of Wisconsin this past week. And I'm going to break a rule. My weekly Wisco was not in Wisconsin, but
what?
It's so exciting, I have to say it.
Yeah.
We're going to start with Megan, the salad bar, Salazar, the sommelier pirate. Megan, what's your weekly
Wisco? Goodness gracious,
Wisco?
It's getting
That's
long.
A mouthful.
It is a lot. I don't even remember what they are. Okay, what do? We went duck hunting, we went grouse hunting, and we went pheasant hunting at a game farm.
Wow. That is quite the weekend.
Yeah,
the
I dragged
week,
Dave
I
around
say.
Everywhere.
Oh,
he's not allowed
he
to
loves it. Ears. Dave is here, and he has a huge smile on his face.
I don't think that.
And stars in his eyes, yes. Because they're lovers.
As you have probably learned previously on the show, Dave and Megan are lovers, and they don't really drag each other around. They're a bit like Siamese twins. They're kind of connected at the hip. So when goes Megan, air goes Dave.
Yeah, they don't drag. They more so grab each other's hands and run.
They just run through the threshold.
Whatever direction is hunting, they're running that direction.
Well, that's
so we got a bunch of feathers.
That's perfect.
And a woodcock.
Oh,
love it.
And did you eat the woodcock?
I ate the woodcock at my cooking class with John Motovilov.
And John Motovilov has been a guest on the show. He's a fantastic dude. So shout out to him. And shout out to him teaching people about the great outdoors. Danielle, what do you got?
I did a little non-out hunting situation. I bought a projector. Because I'm having an outdoor movie night for Halloween, and we watched the Cubs Brewers game outside with the fire.
Wonderful.
I think that's
it was
that's
fantastic on the big
Wisco.
Screen with the
Love
fire
it.
Going with my whole entire family it, right on the water. Got to see where the ducks were landing, so I got to go out there and shoot them the next morning. But, you know.
Well, that's fantastic. I have
it
a
was
feeling
nice.
raised in Wisco is probably going to expand past Michigan and Minnesota into Illinois at some point. So if you want to talk about, if you want to talk smack about Illinois, now's the time to do it.
You know, Jacobs,
you can hear us in Illinois.
You can hear us in Illinois.
You can hear us all the way down to Chicago if you get the radio station right.
That's right, because we are
Jacob shaking his head.
Jacob, no offense. We love you, man. We have adopted you as a Wisconsinite, Jacob.
Yeah,
you know that,
you're a Wisconsinite.
You're a Wisconsinite.
I'm very happy to be a Wisconsinite because I'm raised here in Wisco with you guys, and it's fun, and you make fun of my Ducks and my state and my Cubs, and that's fine.
What?
We're all buddies, I understand.
Mostly we make fun of your football team, but that's okay too, Jacob. Chef Lawton, what do you got?
I had a wonderful solo evening in the woods turkey hunting and was blessed with harvesting a nice big tom.
Nice.
So that's my exciting weekly Wisco.
That is very exciting. And oddly enough, my weekly Wisco is an extremely exciting event too. I won't say it wasn't solo. I had State Senator Rob Stafschult and his daughter with me, and I harvested a Miriam turkey.
So cool.
In Wyoming. And wait for it. Drum roll, please.
That's all
completed my turkey grand slam.
Did you?
That's awesome.
And for those congratulations. Of you who do not know what a turkey grand slam is, there are four main turkeys species in the United States. They are Eastern, Osceola, Miriam, and Rio. And this was the last one that I haven't gotten. And so I was able to get out there in Wyoming and harvest a beautiful Miriam turkey. And I'm going to save my next weekly Wisco for the next show we do. But Kenya Link, I'm going to expand the weekly Wisco into several weeks because this is a perfect way to introduce the exciting thing that happened to you. So why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, I am happy to. So it technically was within the week because I just got back to Wisconsin last Wednesday. So technically it's within the week still.
Well, that counts.
Nice. Even better.
But yeah, so I was out in Idaho along the Snake River, bighorn sheep hunting. And I got a great big bighorn sheep in the depths of Hell's Canyon.
The depths of Hell's Canyon.
That does not sound terrifying at all.
Yeah, I mean, it really, really, truly kind of was. It's some steep country out there, but I had such a blast. I mean, physically, mentally, it was a tough hunt, but I pursued and I didn't give up, and I got it done in the end. So
awesome.
I was happy to bring back a bunch of bighorn sheep meat with me, and we cooked it up over the weekend and celebrated, and it was delicious. Aww. So,
oh my gosh.
That's so exciting.
It's wonderful.
I have so many questions. I cannot wait to talk about that. We're going to talk about where you went in, where you were dropped off, how much you did on foot, what firearm you were using, what the terrain was like, what the weather was like. I want to know what you did
everything
with the meat. I want to know everything about it because
I want to know the recipe for the meat.
Yeah, that's,
so get that ready.
Wow, Chef Lawton wants to know the recipe. There's a surprise. I can't wait to continue talking to you about that because this is in one of the categories that some people consider themselves extremely serious hunters going after, you know, the sheep and the sheep slams. And a bighorn sheep is absolutely crazy difficult to get. So I'm really excited about that. So why don't you start, give us a little quip as to when you went out there and how the very first day of the hunt started.
Yeah, so I'll start off by saying I drew a really rare tag. It's the Unit 11 Idaho sheep, Idaho bighorn sheep tag that there's only one out of state tag given. It's a lottery ticket.
Wow.
Holy cow.
It's a really, really rare tag to draw. I was absolutely so excited when I heard the news that I drew this tag. I put in a total of 7 days hunting for this sheep. Day one was definitely the hottest. It was about
well, I can't wait to hear about that. We got to go to break. Hang on to your hats, everybody. It's so exciting. This is Raised in Wisco with an expert panel on Kenya Link.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The conservative majority of the U.S. Supreme Court appeared to agree October 15th with arguments that the Voting Rights Act Section 2's majority-minority voting districts conflicted with the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause. A decision is expected next year. Chief Justice John Roberts signaled that the court's 2023 Milligan precedent, a very similar case, may not apply to Louisiana versus Calais. Justice Kagan later pointed out that the court rejected several similar arguments by the state of Alabama defending its discrimination. Louisiana argued that the court-mandated majority-minority districts giving minority voters an equal chance to elect the candidate of their choice puts the state in a position to discriminate against other voters. Justices Kavanaugh and Coney Barrett both voiced support for an endpoint to sunset such opportunity districts. The court's Jingles test, used to determine if a group qualifies for such a district, was also questioned by the conservative justices. In her opening argument, the NAACP Legal Defense Fund's Janae Nelson said that should the court strike down Section 2, it would be, quote, a staggering reversal of precedent that would throw maps across the country into chaos. There are 148 VRA majority-minority districts in 28 states, according to Ballotpedia. We've linked a transcript of the arguments at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Mattner.
I have been in radio for 44 years.
It's incredible.
I wanted to be an actress originally. Radio to me was mind theater. Mm-hmm. I could be anybody.
Yeah.
And people could imagine it. It's like reading a book instead of the movie. Is your mind gets to fill in lots of details. And I think that's part of the genuine experience of radio.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Raised in Wisco is your one-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin. My name is Joel Clayfish. I have the honor and privilege and pleasure of hosting Raised in Wisco alongside co-host Danielle Fairman and award-winning chef, the culinarian, the chefferie of Raised in Wisco, Ellie Lawton, who shares with us how to take what you field and forage to the table in a simple, easy way. And tonight, we've got Megan the Salad Bar Salazar, our sommelier, along with us today. Danielle, I love that you laugh every time I
every
say
time.
That.
Every time. I'm just funny. Picturing it as a name tag.
Our number one fan, Gary Fluitt's in the studio with us. But we have been hearing the very beginning of the exciting, unbelievable, death-defying hunt of Kenya Link. And if you follow
in
Kenya.
In Hell's Canyon.
In Hell's Kitchen.
Sounds
kitchen.
Fun.
Hell's
Canyon?
Kitchen
Canyon.
Or Canyon?
Canyon.
Is it Hell's Kitchen
Hell's
or
Hole.
Danielle, you're on the radio.
Kenya Link, you do quite a bit in the outdoors.
I can Google it now.
You went on a bighorn sheep hunt, and you drew really the tag of 1,000 lifetimes, if we're going to be honest. They give one out-of-state bighorn sheep tag. And unbelievably, you drew it. First day of your hunt, super hot out and you're facing, you know,
wait, can we go back to the whole getting the tag? Like, that has to be so exciting. I feel like we need to talk about that one. Like, how many times did you put in for this? Like, how did you,
how many people go in for it?
I have all the questions about this part.
Yeah,
I'm
do
still
too, Danielle,
up here.
And I want to know how many resident tags they pull too, if anyone knows that.
Do you know this, Kenya?
Tell us.
So, a lot of people apply for it every year. I mean, it brings in a lot of money for conservation. As far as other tags in that area, there's one resident tag and then there's one governor's tag that can technically hunt that unit. So realistically speaking, there's only three people who can hunt that unit.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. That's so
and that's
cool.
If the governor's tag decides to shoot one there, or if they decide to go somewhere else. So, the competition's really low, which helps because, as I said earlier before the break, the terrain is tough. It was 105 degrees the first day I hunted, and I was climbing up the steep Hell's Canyon mountains. So
Hell's Canyon, I was right.
Yeah, Hell's Canyon and Hell's Kitchen that day too.
That's unbelievable. Now, when you say climbing up, is it more alpine style climbing, or are you doing rock climbing, or is it kind of a combination of both? And what's the altitude like?
Yeah, it's rock. It's really rocky. Once in a while, you'll be lucky enough to hit a grassy patch, but it's rocky and it's slippery. I mean, I had two walking sticks, and most people use one or two walking sticks too, because it's steep. I mean, you're climbing. So, and yeah, altitude, I honestly, we weren't really that high up. It doesn't, when you hear the number, it doesn't seem like you're that high up. It's like between almost 4,000 feet, 380. Yeah.
It's nothing to laugh at. So, you're still going to have to take deeper breaths at 4,000 or 5,000 feet.
Oh, gosh.
Seems like a lot
when you're constantly
work.
Climbing.
Now, are you belayed while you're doing this, or are you free climbing?
You're totally free climbing. Yeah, you've got is your walking sticks and a big backpack on your back to
pull you backwards.
And I'm just going to tell you, today's school kids in grade school, they train for this because their backpacks are bigger than
not anymore.
So you're climbing up this mountain and it's 105 degrees. The air is slightly thinner than it is down here. And what are you thinking? Are you thinking to yourself at some point, what the ever-loving hell have I gotten myself into?
Oh, absolutely. Especially when you're at a spot where you can't really find a good spot to stick your foot. You're kind of talking yourself out of a panic attack once in a while, but.
Because are places where you slip the wrong way, you fall off the mountain, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Certainly. No biggie. Okay. Oh, yeah. I cannot imagine.
All the time.
And when you actually harvest an animal and you have to track this whole entire thing back, how in the world are you going to do that?
That just seems
mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, so it is mind-blowing, truthfully. And so I went with guides. I had a great team of guides, Sheep Meadow Outfitters. You can find them online under Sheep Mountain Outfitters.
Sheep Meadow Outfitters.
Meadow.
Yeah. Meadow. Oh, Sheep Meadow. Yeah.
Oh, Meadow. Sheep Meadow. Sorry, Joel. I was on the same page.
I was thinking Sheep Meadow. I don't know.
Clever.
Wow, unbelievable. So you're wondering to yourself, what the hell did I get myself into? I'm halfway up a mountain. And you haven't seen a sheep at this point, or you have?
Well, so the first day we were glassing them from across the way. We were on the other side of the river, glassing along the Snake River, looking at the mountain, and we could see them in a spot. So we made our way to that spot, and we tried to get a shot the first day. Didn't work out, so we ended up climbing down the mountain. They ran off. We didn't get a good shot, and all that climbing just for the heck of it, pretty much is what happened the first day. And then, I mean, it was a seven full day hunt. So
wow.
Holy
Ooh, after that
cow.
First day, I
How
probably would have turned in my boots.
Sleeping right now?
Yeah, I can't. And when you come down, I can't imagine the exasperation after the first day, the wonder of if I did the right thing here, if mm-hmm. I'm going to continue. Well, Kenya Link, our guest tonight, did continue, and you're not going to believe how the hunt developed, and I'm really excited about this. This is Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 540 WAUK.
CBS News Brief in Frisco, Texas.
Tell me what democracy looks like.
One of many No Kings protests happening across the nation to demonstrate against President Trump's policies. Republicans are calling them hate America rallies. Questions now as the Trump administration holds two survivors it got from an alleged drug boat that struck off the coast of Venezuela. Former State Department lawyer Brian Finucane.
The Trump administration is engaged in a make-believe armed conflict and has used that make-believe armed conflict as a basis to kill people. And the question is now whether we'll use that make-believe armed conflict as a basis to also detain people.
Joy for L.A. Dodgers fans as the team heads to the World Series again, thanks to Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, man, it was amazing, absolutely amazing. 3 home runs, 10 strikeouts.
The Dodgers swept Milwaukee in 4 games to take the pennant for their 26th Fall Classic. CBS News Brief, I'm Allison Keys.
The Brewers' season comes to an end. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers were once again dominated by the Dodgers in Los Angeles. The Dodgers winning 5-1 to complete a 4-game sweep of Milwaukee. The Brewers going from the best record in baseball to runners-up in the postseason again. Manager Pat Murphy.
We've talked about being an inch from the top and an inch from the bottom. And we faced a really, really talented team that played really, really good.
The Dodgers starting pitcher, Shohei Ohtani, named the series MVP after pitching 6 scoreless innings, striking out 10 batters, and hitting 3 home runs in the game, one that left the ballpark.
There's a reason why he's the greatest player on the planet. You know, what he did on the mound, what he did at the bat, he created a lot of memories for a lot of people. And so for us to do it in a game-clinching game at home, wins the NLCS MVP, pretty special, and I'm just happy to be able to go along for the ride.
That's Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for a more efficient way to watch TV, this might be a deal for you. You can now bundle Apple TV with Peacock. Apple TV is already ad-free, but if you pair it with Peacock Premium Plus, which is Peacock's version of ad-free, it will cost you $19.99 a month. That's barely a savings from current prices, but if you go with the ad-supported Peacock, you can get both platforms for $14.99. Apple TV right now is currently $12.99, so that's not a bad deal, if you don't mind a few ads. It was pretty much a given Taylor Swift's new album, The Life of a Showgirl, was going to break records. According to Variety, Showgirl sold 4 million units in its first week. The old record was 3.5 million units for a week, which was previously held by Adele, according to Billboard. Swift also set a record, now having the most number one solo albums, breaking a tie she held with Jay-Z and Drake. She trails only the Beatles, who hold the record for all artists with 19 number one albums. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 540 WAUK.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. An isolated thunderstorm possible, otherwise partly sunny today and a high near 71. Showers and storms possible tonight, a low around 50. Sunday, rain likely and windy. Winds gust to 35 out of the northwest. For Monday, mostly sunny and breezy with a high of 65.
It's 64 at our studios.
Hey, it's Dan Haney. Join me weekday mornings between 6 and 9 as 540 WAUK presents All News All Morning. We start the day with everything you need to feel informed. Stuart J. Waddles has Milwaukee and local news three times an hour, followed by Leslie Lotto from the Civic Media State News Desk, CBS News, Mike Clemens in sports, traffic and weather, money and market updates. Start your morning drive with All News All Morning on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Amy Gaither, director of a new show at the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls. Then Eric and Adam from Ask Your Mother drop by to rock the studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
This is Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, sitting alongside co-host Danielle Fairman, chefery of the show, Ellie Lawton, fan favorite of the show, Gary Fluitt, and of course, Woo-hoo. Contributor Megan, the salad bar, Salazar. But today, we have one heck of an exciting guest, Kenya Link, who just got back, just got back. From a bighorn sheep hunt. She pulled a tag, one given out to a non-resident, and she had a hunt in Hell's Canyon, Idaho. Yes, Idaho, Kenya. And I want to know, when you're up there and you had just talked about day one, going up, not getting a shot, putting in probably the hardest physical day of your life, or at least toward the top of that, right? And you get to the bottom and let's do it again tomorrow. Is that what happens?
Same place, same.
And then again and again and again
and again. I mean, take me through the mental stratosphere you're going through at that point.
Yeah, it's an emotional roller coaster. I mean, day one to the last day, you're hitting a lot of highs and lows, literally and
and figuratively.
I mean, it's a lot. It's a mental challenge, let alone the physical challenge.
So take me to which day you actually saw the sheep that you got a shot at, and what that day was like, and what was going through your mind, and what you had to physically and mentally do on that day.
Yeah. So day six, the night of day six, one of my guides, so we had hunted a few different sheep. So this was really the third ram we were after. And the first time anybody had seen this ram within our group was day six that night. I didn't get eyes on him until day seven, but day six that night, one of my guides basically put him to bed. We knew where he was and we made a game plan for the next day. Friday morning, we got up way early so we could get up to the top of the mountain before daylight via truck, and then work our way in to where he was. And this was, like I said, the first time anybody in our group had seen the sheep, and he was the biggest sheep that they had seen all season. So
all season.
Wow. Yeah, he's a monster.
Yes.
I saw a picture. It's fantastic. So,
monster.
Yeah. So the wait of the 7 days ended up paying off because this was the big one. So
take me through that seventh day as you're climbing the mountain again. What emotions are you going through before you see him, as you see him, as you get ready to take that shot?
Yeah, so I knew we had a long hike ahead of us that day. We had to go in just 8 miles from where we parked the truck down.
Oh, you hiked like 8 miles
in.
Okay.
Uphill both ways.
Okay.
On day six, after you've been doing that
day seven.
This you've already been seven. Doing this for 6 days.
Oh,
just a casual 16-mile hike on day seven.
Wow. Yeah, it was a lot. We literally 8 miles in, and then he ended up not being at that spot where
no.
we had gone to bed. So we had to go up and down and up and down.
Like, oh no!
I think from there it was close to five or six more miles.
Oh gosh! Roll out the stretcher for me.
I mean, have you seen this sheep? It's a good sheep.
It's
absolutely worth it.
I'm not sure if you had all the sheep that Jesus had in one spot. If I could hike in 8 miles. And then start going up and down.
And then just five or six more up and down.
Five or six
more. No biggie.
So
your calves would be huge.
At this point, is your guide like looking at you thinking, I don't know.
This is one tough chick.
I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I have no idea. I'm going to fall asleep right here. Send in a helicopter. I mean, what are you thinking at that point?
The good news is the guides, I mean, they're equipped for that. They do this all the time. But even at the end, they said to me, they're like, that's probably the hardest hike I've ever had to do for a big
one. Oh, my gosh.
That's
oh
what several goodness. Of them said to me at the end. And I didn't doubt it for a minute. But, I mean, they were really proud of me. They probably knew I had it in me. Otherwise, I don't think they would have put me in that situation.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Were
so,
you sure?
For you. I'm very proud of you.
Were
you
sure you had it in you at that point? I mean,
honestly
I can't imagine the mental turmoil.
So this was my second, major sheep hunt. I'm halfway to my Grand Slam for sheep, actually. I went dull sheep hunting in Alaska when I was, I think I was 17 at the time. And that was a really, really long hike too. So I knew I had it in me. I didn't know that I had it in me for the hotter climate because it's not
that
like that
a
in
big
Alaska.
Difference.
Oh,
big
yeah. It
difference.
Does. You so need take me to pack through. In a lot of water.
Oh, yeah.
I want to know what, take us through. When you see this sheep and the scenario, paint the picture for me as to what's going through your mind as you're thoroughly exasperated and exhausted and you finally see this monster on the side of the mountain.
Yeah, and exhausted is a good way to put it because my guide told me we had to go quickly up this 80-ish yard really steep slope. And once we got up there, it was go time to shoot. So I basically jogged up there as quickly as I could without hurting myself. And I got to the top and I had to collect my breath. I mean, it was probably 70 degrees only that day, which is still pretty hot when you're hiking.
Ooh, very
like that.
Hot.
But,
yeah, very hot.
But it was still, it was still hot for me. And I was collecting my breath. My guide's like, okay, it's... just breathe in and out. You need to shoot. And I'm like, okay, I can do this.
Chop, chop, girl. Let's go.
It's time. So
how
I mean, at that point, so from there, he was about 330 yards away. It was 327 exactly from where I shot.
Wow.
So yeah. And basically once I collected my breath, I belly crawled up to the edge of this little slope. Got the gun ready, put the tripod out for the gun, got comfortable. He was on the move. He was running up the hill with three other sheep, two smaller ones, and then one other really nice ram too. But I tell you what, when I looked in my scope, I knew which one he was. He stood out like a sore thumb.
I bet, but that's no short shot either. And they're telling you better shoot quick.
Yep. Yep. Well, they're low pressure. They're like, take your time, take a deep breath, get comfortable. But I wasn't messing around. I I had the opportunity. I looked to my guide. I said, he's the one in the back, right? You know, you got to confirm because you don't want to make the wrong shot, of course. And so he said, yep, that's the one. And I said, all right, I'm taking the safety off. Took the safety off. And right when I got a clean shot of him broadside with the other Rams out of the way, made a perfect shot, dropped him right in his tracks.
Yay!
Wonderful. Yeah. 330 yards. That is a
yeah.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
And
then
yeah.
did you just jump for
what,
joy?
I mean, what went through your mind the second he dropped?
The second he dropped, I reloaded and I put those crosshairs right back on. I'm ready to shoot again just in case.
Yes.
I wasn't taking any chances. So I didn't get excited yet. I just kind of got prepared for the next step and prepared for the worst. And I had him in my scope and my guide said, yep, he's down. You're good to go. Put it on safety. And then I started to celebrate.
Yay!
I can't imagine.
Oh, congratulations. That's so exciting. So then
Thank you. Afterwards, do
they go over there and pack, like chop it up and bag it for you? Or do you get to go over there and do that?
Oh yeah, we all climbed way over there, which it wasn't an easy climb over there either. Because like I said, we were top, kind of on a top of a ridge, and he was on his way up a different ridge. So
of course,
we climbed all the way over there, and yeah, they cut him up and skinned him, and we took photos and video, and
wonderful.
It was a beautiful spot. I mean, it was he only fell probably about 20 yards from the shot when he collapsed. So wasn't too far of a drop, which is good and bad for the pack out. But yeah, it was an absolute adrenaline rush, especially from where I shot, walking over to where he was. You know, I'm just so excited. I wish I could have just ran over there, but you know, one step at a time in those mountains.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's wow. Unbelievable. That's just an unbelievable success story after putting in so much work. And I don't think people think about, I know I as a hunter often don't think about once that animal is down and you want to preserve that meat and that hide, that's when the actual work begins.
Yeah,
that's when it gets
it sure
crazy
does.
Hard. And so now you're with this beautiful animal. You're going to take your photographs. Now you're going to pack it out. That and you're what, 10, 15 miles into a mountain. I mean, what is going through your mind at that point to realize now we're going to pack this thing out and you have just used every last scintilla of energy.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's time to fuel up, have a couple snacks, have some water, and get your mind in the zone to work your way off the mountain, especially so you can do it on time before it gets dark.
Yeah.
It's all one way in, one way out is kind of how I was thinking. And basically the pack out wasn't so bad. It was close to an hour and 45 minutes out. The distance, I'm not sure, honestly, probably close to 3, I think, according to my Garmin watch.
Okay. And we're all going, 3 miles. That's easy. 3 miles.
After all of that.
Through the mountain.
After 14, 15 miles earlier.
Oh, my gosh. So, in essence, you ran a marathon. Oh, not even joking.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Multiple marathons that week.
Up and down a mountain. Marathon after marathon after marathon. I mean, that is some serious Ironman stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And real quickly, I want to know what was the first food item, the culinary thing you did with the sheep.
That's exactly
when
what
you
I was
got back.
Ask. Mm-hmm. I thought we were going to do that in the next segment.
Well, we got lots of cooking to talk about.
Yeah, we do.
The first item I had when I got off the mountain was an ice cold Coors Light. I can tell you that.
You earned that.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. It was hard earned, but yeah, that pack out was wild. When I got home to Wisconsin, we seasoned up the back straps into little just bite-sized steak bites and seasoned them up just kind of how we season up venison at home. And then soaked them in butter on the frying pan and ate them like
that. Oh,
beautiful.
I would have got off that mountain and I would have eaten a chunk of that ram sushi grade.
Yeah. I would have eaten the heart so on the side of the mountain.
We just ate the most amazing meal before the show tonight. Yes. We're going to tell you about that with Chef Lawton. Raised in Wisco is, after all, a cooking show.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
The Wisconsin Book Fest is a free 4-day festival in Madison that celebrates every type of reader. Whether you're into mind-racing mysteries, great birding guides, speculative sci-fi, or music memoirs, you're sure to find an author to obsess over. Join us October 23rd to 26th for dozens of author readings, discussions, book signings, and more. Head over to waukradio.com to check out the full event lineup. And don't forget to make space on your shelf for new favorites.
This Week in Waukesha, a weekly podcast presentation of WAUK.
Hey, it's Downtown Donnie Brown, and this week in Waukesha, we are acting locally, thinking globally, talking about mayoral election, which has suddenly become a little bit more crowded with the announcement of City Council President Alicia Halbenslaven announcing her candidacy for mayor, challenging Scott Allen.
Find This Week in Waukesha at waukradio.com. Go to the website and search This Week in Waukesha from 540 WAUK.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrix, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll. I'm a Patriotic Millionaire, and I approve this message.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Man, I've been working too hard, 10-hour days and I'm tired. Damn, this knuckle busted, back-breaking, no-paying job. Know where I'm going from here, hot-headed.
Raised in Wisco is nothing if not exciting, and exploring the state of Wisconsin, what it has to offer, what you can harvest, what you can forage, what you can fish, and how to put it on the table. And we have a special treat for you tonight, as we always do. Chef Ellie Lawton, the award-winning culinarian, is joining us, and we do a cooking segment every show. If you're new to the show, welcome. Get out those pots and pans and utensils, because we're going to show you how to take what you get in the field and bring it to the table. What an amazing story by Kenya Link, a fantastic hunt. And we got to hear about her seasoning up those backstraps of that once in 10 lifetimes bighorn sheep she got. And I'm going to tell you, one of the greatest things about Raised in Wisco, and we have our number one fan, Gary Fluitt, along, and of course, Danielle Fairman, co-host of the show, Ellie Lawton, our chef, and contributor, Megan Salazar. But one of the things that I just love, the camaraderie of the show and getting together. We get together and break bread before the show. And tonight we had an unbelievable feast, I would call it.
So good.
It was so good. And I'm hoping that's the recipe of the week, Chef Lawton.
It was not. Look at her face.
Sorry to break your heart, Joel.
Well, you're going to have to listen to a future show, because on a future show, we're going to go through the recipe of what we ate today. But it was pretty fantastic, and it had the
All right, Joel, we can talk about it.
No, it's okay. No, I don't want
to derail you.
You can't. Not possible when it comes to food. But Chef Lawton, what have you in store for us this week?
So, I did a play on chicken and waffles, but I used my wild turkey breasts that I just harvested, and I made a cornbread waffle with charred corn and scallions, and then a maple butter.
What?
So,
did you forget to invite us?
Yeah. I want to know. Megan just said,
I thought we were friends.
Megan, I do already have pictures of it for you as well.
But I.
Okay, that makes it worse. Okay, you do know that, right?
Eat it.
Sorry, I'm blowing up. Sorry, you're blowing up. Sorry, everybody's blowing up right now.
I haven't said a word.
Danielle, thank you. That's because you want the recipe. I can tell.
I'm ready. I'm waiting.
Okay, so I went out, had a beautiful turkey hunt. Breasted my turkey. Megan, I'm making turkey tail next with my turkey tail.
Fantastic.
Yes. So marinated that turkey breast overnight in the refrigerator with some hot sauce and some buttermilk. Super easy. The next day.
Yeah.
Oh, Danielle. Are you doing okay?
Danielle, we're right. We're at the beginning of the recipe, Danielle. Hang on. Hang on. The best is yet to come.
Super easy prep for this meat. Took it out of the marinade. I let the buttermilk sit on it. I did not rinse it off. I put it in a seasoned flour of cayenne, cornmeal, flour, a little salt, a little pepper. Ooh. I pan fried it in the cast iron skillet. That was my turkey. It was wonderful, beautiful. I loved it. And then for the cornbread waffle, you can use a cornbread mix, or you can make your own. A little baking powder, eggs, milk, butter. And then I charred some sweet corn kernels and green onions in a cast iron pan. Mm-hmm. So just until they got a little dark on the outside, threw that in the batter, put that in the waffle iron. Danielle, are you still doing okay over there?
I need a bit.
Danielle, how are you hungry right now?
I love hot. If it's spicy,
are you hungry?
I'm in.
So
always.
Danielle, first spice factor.
Putting on my winter weight.
First spice factor on the turkey. I did drizzle some hot honey over it. Once I put
Mike's
it over.
Mike's hot honey?
Yes. Yes.
You could add jalapenos to your cornbread too.
Yeah, you certainly could. Nice. Yeah. You can put any sort of whatever veggie, and put it in the cornbread waffle. It was fantastic. So then, made that cornbread waffle, put the turkey over it, and then topped it with pickled red onion and pickled carrot with the hot honey. And then, Danielle.
Wait, why are we putting carrots in this thing?
Whoa, relax. They're pickled.
They're
it's
on
amazing.
The side, maybe. I don't know.
No, I pile them up on top.
Holy
we're
cow,
gonna,
that went south
a side
in a hurry.
Dish.
Hey,
that
Danielle,
went south in a hurry when we
mentioned
carrots.
Obviously, you're stuck at the culinary carrot corner, and we're going to change that, okay? And then, Danielle, I made this for you. I made maple butter. So I took butter and an immersion blender and put in some Wisconsin maple syrup until I made a really nice, thick.
Jarunis.
Oh, goodness. made a nice, thick maple butter and drizzled that over the top. Oh. That's a.
It sounds so harvesty,
sorry.
Right?
Sorry, y'all weren't invited.
I
next
feel like
time,
that would be good with sheep.
Next time, though, I'm going to top it
you
with some
that,
cranberry chutneys.
Oh, that sounds absolutely fantastic. I think
chutneys?
Some
chutney. Cranberry chutney.
I think cornmeal is an underrated,
cornmeal's fantastic,
underused substance.
Cornmeal
on the bottom of a pizza crust.
Oh, pizza. Yes.
Know,
oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't even know if
you
I
know?
Would call it. Kenya, what do you think?
Kenya!
Kenya, what do you think about that recipe?
I like the cornmeal on the bottom of pizza crust. That's so good.
Well, never Kenya, that I wasn't ever. Part of the recipe.
I'm going to tell you, I like that you took a classic chicken and waffles, made it with wild game.
Yeah.
And the beauty of doing that is that you could really use almost any protein.
Yeah, I wanted to say you like could that. Do duck breast. Megan, you could do pheasant, chucker, anything.
It sounds be
fantastic.
Like a wonderful fall recipe.
Or if you don't have any wild game, run to the grocery store and get some chicken leg quarters and use that.
That sounds fantastic. That's
fantastic.
Yum.
And I'm going to say, I don't know because I haven't had the pleasure to try it, but it
sorry
almost sounds
that.
Like when you're adding the scallion to the waffle, it gives it kind of almost a potato pancakey thing once it hits with the maple syrup.
Yeah, that's fair to say.
Butter.
It's like cornbread, potato pancake, almost has like a Asian flavor profile to it, actually.
Oh,
once you char the corn and the onion and put it in the
I do
cornbread
not have
waffle.
Your brain.
Oh, boy. That sounds amazing.
Hey, Danielle, I don't have yours.
That's why we have her on the show, just to glom
like,
all
where
her
is
information.
This Asian
next week, you're going to love
steal it. And steal it. Folks, when you listen to Raised in Wisco, we appreciate it. Try the recipes. Go to Facebook and join our following on Facebook because you'll see these recipes. You'll learn how to make them, and you can connect with us. If you have questions about the show or you want to learn more about Raised in Wisco, reach out on our Facebook page. We have a blast. Thanks to Kenya Link.
Thank you, Kenya.
Thanks, Kenya. Congratulations.
Gary Fluitt. Thanks contributor Megan Salazar and Ellie Lawton, our chefferie, for co-host Danielle Fairman. My name's Joel Clayfish. We'll see you next week on Raised in Wisco!
We're a Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keys in Atlanta.
No Kings!
No Kings!
No Kings!
That's just one of thousands of No Kings demonstrations being held around the nation to protest the policies of President Trump. Republicans are calling them Hate America rallies, but protesters, including Cami in Frisco, Texas, say they are fed up with how they say Mr. Trump is trampling their rights.
I'm concerned about the imbalance of power that is happening, about Congress giving up their power to the executive branch. That's not healthy.
This is a government shutdown affecting hundreds of thousands of federal workers continues with no end in sight and no negotiations either. CBS's Nicole Killian.
The director of the Office of Management and Budget at the White House announced that $11 billion will be put on hold for projects by the Army Corps of Engineers, including in blue cities like New York and San